Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oink, oink, oink. The pig was a beast. The Red Sox win yet again. Two wins in Toronto. The magic number is down to one, and that's why I have my City Connect jersey on, because today is happy clinch day for the Boston Red Sox. They could actually clinch during WEEI afternoons because your Astros play the A's, or I should say your A's play the Astros. If the A's win, the Boston Red Sox will officially be in the playoffs. And I think we all know, Fitzy, they're in the playoffs. Like, I don't want to, I know what, every once in a while.
Playoffs?
They're a playoff team. If anything, they're more of a playoff team than the team they're playing against. They look like more of a playoff team than the team they're about to play next at Fenway Park. Other teams are fading, and the Boston Red Sox are kind of picking up the pace heading toward the postseason here. Garrett Crochet, 8 shutout innings, as I predicted. Did not have the 12 Ks that I predicted. In fact, he didn't have the 7 Ks I needed for the over on my little app.
You know what? Honestly, you know what they should do today? Cut him. He sucks.
No, you know what they should? They should give him the Cy Young Award.
You take Snake. I was just going to say, Andy.
It's more because I bet on it to start the year.
Okay, well, actually, that was a really good bet. That's what we call a nice future, pal. I am here today alongside you in lockstep, just not in as snazzy a Red Sox jersey, to say loud and proud, clear as a bell, Garrett Crochet should be the 2025 American League Cy Young winner. For when the optics of your final start are Garrett Crochet being a hoss, an ace, and a workhorse, going 8 shutout on the road against the team in first place in your division as you're looking to clinch a playoff spot, and Tarik Skubal loses a ball game, loses his composure, and loses control of a baseball, and incidentally hits someone in the face, giving them facial fractures. Like, that right there just tells you, like, when they were needed in the clutch, when their team needed them, I don't care about parsing over little bits of ERA. He's over 200 innings, over 250 strikeouts. The numbers for Crochet all day are outstanding. Give the man his due and give him the ball next Tuesday. Let's go! Yeah, honk me up, baby. I love it.
And we were actually talking about this before the show, Dan Ball and I asked him, I said, is there a chance I could steal the victory in this prop bet? And Dan Ball pointed out that it is possible that Skubal could take the mound in 162, and therefore I would have to, Dan, root for
whoever they're playing against, him to essentially, him to
get
implode.
Smoked,
yeah, absolutely.
And whoever they're playing against.
I don't think it's possible for him to have his ERA drop to the point of Crochet's, which is 2.59, but a blow-up start of less than 5 innings and, I don't know, 5 or more earned runs gets you to the point where, all right, now we're within kind of 10, 15 points, and with the innings and the strikeouts, now we're having a real conversation, and the wins, I might add.
And I would say, and what the two teams did. If he's pitching for 162, they need him to pitch 162, and he's coming off a performance in which he hit a man, and I do not make light of this, in the face, and I don't know how he's going to respond to that the next time he's out there. We talked about it yesterday. Sometimes pitchers are adversely affected by those types of situations. So I heard Brad Foe with Jones and Keefe a little bit earlier. He was still seemingly, and he has a vote for the AL Cy Young this year. Seemingly, he is leaning towards Skubal, but I'm going to keep hope alive because hope is alive for the Boston Red Sox. Magic number is 1. They pounced on the Fitzy, remember when we used to talk about Steven Jackson? Was it the skeleton of Steven Jackson we called it? Or
the ghost of Steven Jackson?
That was kind of what you had with Max Scherzer last night. Kind of the ghost of Max Scherzer.
He didn't belong out there. Like
they were booing the poor guy.
Well, you know what? They shouldn't be booing Max Scherzer. They should be booing Blue Jays front office and general management for putting a guy who is easily 3 years past his prime on the mound in a gotta-have-it game against a division rival. The difference between 2019, Max Scherzer, who basically carried the Washington Nationals to the World Series by himself, versus 2025 Max Scherzer, who could barely carry himself to the mound, is shocking. I mean, the game was over in the first inning.
In a good way. In a rare good way. I like those.
It was like, if you knew three runs would be enough, everybody could have just gotten home early, avoided traffic, not paid the parking fees, and loaded up on the snacks and concessions. Like, 3-0 was enough. That's all you needed to spot the pig on the mound last night. He was brilliant, and Scherzer just looked old.
And we've talked about the potential for these Red Sox, these 2025 Red Sox, to produce these cult hero figures. And you had a couple guys that took advantage of those opportunities last night. You had two home runs in the game. Were they by Story or Bregman or any? Nope, they were by Carlos Narvaez. And I'm going to call him my guy. Yoshida went deep.
Nope, you are not allowed
to
do that.
Nope, I owe him an apology. I never wanted to see him play again. And the patience shown by Alex Cora with Yoshida, and I know he kills the Blue Jays, and I have this theory. Could it be the lighting? No.
I mean, my God.
It's called objectivity. I have to acknowledge that the guy is hitting, that the guy put one in the seats last night. But I do have to question. It was so crazy. He's so good in Toronto against the Blue Jays that immediately after the home run, Lou Merlone on Nesson goes, Red Sox should offer up Yoshida for Guerrero next year. He's so good up here. They might want to make the swap.
That's like Derrick Henry for Ramondre Stevenson.
I was kind of thinking the same thing. Careful, Lou. Social media doesn't like when you try to have fun with trades off of current events.
Honest to God, I was yesterday years old when I learned that Yoshida is Japanese for Blue Jay killer. That guy is tremendous north of the border. And if this is...
Can I ask a question real quick about how good he is there? Is it possible... I don't know anything about baseball across the pond around the world, but all the highlights I see seem to be domes that are probably similar to Sky Dome / Rogers Center. Is it possible that he's more comfortable in that big dome lighting type setting and for some as opposed to some of the bigger either outdoor ballparks in the U.S. or some of the domes here that are the new age kind of warehouse, bigger? I don't know. This is just a working theory that the dome in Toronto is similar to what he played in previously, and maybe that's why he hits better there.
If you remember back to 2023 in the World Baseball Classic, which I believe was primarily played at Chase Park in Arizona, which is along the lines of a Rogers Center Sky Dome type of venue, he hit over 600 for Team Japan.
I think you got to put a roof on Fenway Park and he'll hit 500 for the Red Sox.
That's it.
That's all you got to do. John Henry, I know there's big development going on there. Just hold those plans for just a minute to include some sort of roof that goes over Fenway so we can get our money's worth out of Yoshida. But no, the guys are stepping up. We're getting contributors, you know, Lowe the other night. Abreu is working his way back, and his arm seems fine since he pulled the Little League out by throwing out Kirk at first base. Dan Ball had a long argument with me as to whether Kirk let up or not. But either way, the chubby little Blue Jay was thrown out. That's what I said. Hey, Dan Ball, did you hear what Fitzy just said? Say it again, Fitzy.
Coach Fitzy says you run through it.
Hard to run through it when you're out 5 feet before you get there. That's when he pulled up.
It's actually not hard.
Let's just think real quick, or just assemble an emergency top three. Most embarrassing things that can happen to you in sports. Getting thrown out at first when you rake one to right field might be top five.
Yeah, because that's pretty rare. Like, I was going to throw getting blocked by the front of the rim on a dunk and kind of falling backwards there.
Scoring in your own net or basket.
Yeah.
Own goal is embarrassing. Yes, Dan. Missing a dunk, embarrassing. Getting thrown out at first when you rip one to right, woof.
Also, from a quarterback perspective, the old, like, the ball slips out the back of your hand when you're trying to throw forward and no one touched you. No one was
around. How about the Orlovsky running out the back of your own end zone?
Your boy Orlovsky in the 203.
That would be up there. But yeah, you don't pass the age of about
about 12 years old, you don't see the guy getting thrown out at first base by the right fielder too often. Of course, you also don't see baseball players that are, I don't know what his measurables are, but the dude is a fire hydrant trying to get down the line there in Toronto. But I thought he gave up, Fitzy, and I think the Blue Jays have given up. I think they are toast. I think they are a broken baseball team, and that's why more than ever, I kind of want to play the Blue Jays in the playoffs. And I don't know all the permutations and how you get to any of these things. I know it's down to Yankees, Blue Jays, Tigers, and Guardians. But that baseball team across the Rogers Center field there is broken. And the Red Sox are taking full advantage. And I don't want to diminish what the Red Sox are doing, because Garrett Crochet went out there. And I know it's cliche. That's why you get Garrett Crochet, right? You get Garrett Crochet for that start right there. And the next one, hopefully. But that one right there. Because the next one might not come if he doesn't have that one.
No, you get him for that full season. And you absolutely, like, that's the definition of Colonel Jessup baseball style from A Few Good Men. You want him on that mound. You need him on that mound. And in a moment where the Red Sox needed to lean on their big guy, who they traded away quality players for, who they gave a massive contract to in the offseason, and who they have counted on time and again this season, every single critic, every doubter, every Sox fan was silenced, rejoiced, and put in their place when he stepped to the mound. And I'll say, honestly, don't care if it wasn't the most strikeouts. Don't care if he didn't throw the baseball the hardest. Was his most impressive performance. And I'll tell you, when time and again in the early innings, when somebody got on, there was a little hit, like first inning, he gives up the double down the line on the fastball.
Yep.
You see, he's like, oh, okay, so I'm not spotting the fastball the right way yet. Just goes to his off-speed stuff, gets two quick outs, right out of, like the intelligence this guy has accrued along the way, in addition to just being able to lean on stuff, is so impressive.
And when you go 8 shutout innings, that inherently means that you didn't give up a home run. Because runs I would have been okay with. If he gave up a couple runs, that's fine. But I didn't want to see a home run, because that has been the little bit of an issue that's sort of in the back of your mind, heading towards a postseason start, when we all know runs are tighter, games are tighter, home runs. You know, in my little example, if you're going to Yankee Stadium and you're facing Aaron Judge, and to see him go out there and throw 8 clean innings with no balls leaving the ballpark, I think that was a big, not that it changes anything when he takes the mound next week in a playoff series, but it's just nice to say, oh, yeah, he's not fading. He isn't fatigued. That's the word we used yesterday throughout the show with Alex Cora. Fatigue setting in. Could fatigue be the reason he's been giving up a dozen home runs in the last 10 starts or whatever it is? And he goes, yep, that's a playoff caliber baseball team across the field right there, right? And I just went and pitched 8 shutout innings, and the ball never left the ballpark.
And the performance last night of, like, the great defensive plays from Trevor Story. Romy Gonzalez. When did Romy Gonzalez turn into Chase Utley? When did he turn into, like...
He's really likable.
But his defense has been phenomenal.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people on socials like, I think, did he just become my second favorite Red Sox second baseman of all time? And I was like, behind Marty Barrett? And most people thought Dustin Pedroia, but I was thinking Marty Barrett first.
Freaking Mac Bellhorn.
But, he has... And that's what this team has become so likable about and for, is like, so many of these positions, you didn't know to start the year who you were going to be rooting on to start the postseason, right? Does that make any sense? Like, there were different guys, unknown.
Didn't know who was going to be in the lineup most days.
Right. And now all of a sudden, you know, we'll hear more about Narvaez later. You get your guy Romy Gonzalez later. You get freaking Yoshida batting, not first, not second, fourth. Yoshida is your cleanup hitter. Can we all just, like, sort of chew on that for a minute? The little guy who hits ground balls to second base and pulls his pants up like Steve Urkel is your cleanup hitter. That is your cleanup hitter. And again, I need to say, last night he hit the ball out of the ballpark in Toronto, and that's great. He, by the way, he had an absolute bleep-eating grin on his face when he entered the dugout. Like, even he is surprised when the ball leaves the yard. He's like, did that really just, is that me that, I get to put on the Wally thing today? How did this happen? But who knew? Who knew you could win like this with these guys?
Not only did you not know that you could win with these guys, but that these guys would have the chemistry that they have. Like like you said, the affability. You can see, Cora's told us this time and time again, like, these guys love each other. Like, they love hanging out. We've got a great, we hear it. We got a good baseball team all the time. But they have the right dynamics together. And I would have never, ever imagined that he I'm going to guess he's up to 130 different lineups at this point after 158 games, which is mind-blowing, which is why I still think he deserves Manager of the Year credit. His even keel and the fact that he's such a cool dude permeates the entire lineup and the clubhouse on a regular basis, just adding to their likability. And yes, of course, they have yo-yoed up and down. They've gone on 4 or 5 game losing streaks. We've wondered if they're going to make the postseason. They couldn't hit the baseball, you know, they couldn't hit the ocean from the side of a rowboat last week. And then now they're white hot all over again. This is the ride. Just deal with it. Like, you may get the same next week, or they could be playing for 3 more weeks. Who knows? But, like, just love these guys for who they are because they're fun.
131 lineups and counting, Fitzgerald. Okay, I've given you, like, 88% of the first segment positive. You know me. I can't be all positive. There had to have been a couple little things I didn't like last night. I'm going to give you those real quick. So, Jarren Duran, 0 for 4, 2 strikeouts. I think if you're going to win a playoff series, you need to get Jarren Duran going. Obviously, he had that big home run last week, but you need a little bit more of a consistent spark from him. And then the other thing, Peyton Tolley came on, and I'm not sure I want to see Peyton Tolley in a meaningful inning in a postseason game because I think the ball could be gone. Yes, Dan Ball.
I'm starting to wonder if he makes the postseason lineup or roster.
Won't even be on the roster.
I think we
Dustin May?
No. Other.
Oh, hell
give me option.
No.
Give me option C. Whatever
Harrison,
it is.
Harrison Hicks.
Hicks.
But I'd take both Early and Harrison over him right now, just because I don't. It's clear that 29 other major league teams know he doesn't have a breaking ball.
Yes, it is. He's throwing 100, and they're hitting it back out like ease with
right.
ease.
What do
you, and yeah, Lou what said do you guys... it. You know, major leaguers. You can throw as hard as you want, but if they can time it and know it's coming, they're gonna hit it. And he had that. Face. Like, I love Peyton Tolley. Even his reactions on home runs are classic. He's a guy you want to have fun with in the future. I just don't think I want to see him, Fitzy, on the mound with meaningful pitches in a playoff series.
Yeah, I wonder what do you think his to-do list in the offseason is going to look like? Number one, learn another pitch.
Yes.
Number two, develop a breaking ball.
Number one, slider. Number two, changeup.
And it doesn't even have to be a good one. Just give them something to think about some of the times.
Just throw off the scent of the fastball.
Because if they're thinking about it, it means they're not just dead red on the 100. Because his first pitch was 100, and you're like, ooh, I like that. And then one or two pitches later, the ball was in the right field stance. You're like, I don't like that. So, yeah, that's obviously something he's going to work on. You can't do that right now. You know, I don't think he can develop an off-speed pitch in the next 7 days so he can take the mound in the postseason. But those would be my lone two negatives is Peyton Tolley. That vision, Fitzy, that you and I and everyone else, I think, had after that first start of him, could he be in the 7th inning of a playoff game, the 6th inning of a playoff game? I don't think I want to see that anymore. It's not trending in that direction.
No, it does make you wonder if it's going to come down to Connelly Early and Kyle Harrison and Peyton Tolley. Like, how many... Let's speculate now. How many spots do we think there are available in the rotation / bullpen right now?
Well, I mean, is Dustin May going to be part of it? The tone of Alex Cora yesterday made me think Dustin May wants to be a part of consideration. But they're going to be involved. I mean, those guys, the thing, I don't know who they're going to be. They're going to be involved because I cannot envision a playoff series where you get 8 from Crochet and then you get 7+ from Bayo and 7+ from Giolito.
Oh, like, now you're just showing that everyone that you were drinking before the show.
Yeah.
And the world expects 7 from Giolito. I will say the way that the Sox have played against Tampa and now against Toronto really plays into their favor as, along lines of what we asked Corey yesterday in our weekly Wednesday interview with the manager, if he was going to consider giving a couple of guys the weekend off. Like, Giolito will not start another game until next week. He will not.
He shouldn't. I mean,
no, he needs the rest.
They also need to give him his $250,000 for the innings. Just put it in an envelope.
Oh, they should do that either way. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes,
absolutely.
He's
5 away from it. You have to do that now. Just as a little incentive, like, hey, maybe you want to take this and then sign next year.
Just put it in an envelope and slide it across the table or whatever. But, yeah, you have to give him that $250,000.
Hey, man, he's money.
Because you can't even, you know, I heard Jones and Keefe, do you put him out there just to keep him fresh, pitch him 2 to 3 innings? Well, that doesn't that doesn't get him his innings. And I'm with you, Fitzy. I see the shaking head. I don't. I want to see what he can be as rested as possible, because right now, we talked about it yesterday, the velocity is down. Obviously, the control is out of whack. He's had 3 to 4 walks, I feel like, every outing I watch in the last few weeks. So, I don't think you see him again. I don't want to see him again. And then you just cross your fingers when you see him again.
Yeah, so to the table, to the studio at all. So if the Red Sox, either via a loss before the game from the Astros, or if they win it tonight and take care of their own business, that leaves 3 TBDs against the Tigers likely this weekend. Who do we think gets some of those?
That's a deeper question than I have the answer. Dan Ball.
I think you get all the young lefties. Early, Harrison, Tolley. I think those are your 3 for the weekend.
We did have a good text that says the 413. Like, have Connor Wong show Tolley how to throw a breaking ball. He unlocked Chapman.
Hey.
Not a bad idea.
And don't forget, he fixed the front side slider for Garrett Crochet, too.
Connor Wong, the secret weapon for the pitching staff that we didn't know we needed. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about the Red Sox? How you feeling about clinch day here? The A's and the Astros. We will have live updates throughout the afternoon from Dan Ball. Every run that scored, we will break in with that information. I got the City Connect Fenway Greens on, baby. The Red Sox are clinching the playoffs today, either thanks to an Astros loss or when they win to sweep the Blue Jays tonight. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we need to look ahead. We're feeling ourselves a little bit here. We're starting to look ahead to the postseason and the 4 most likely possibilities. Who do you want to face? Who do you not want to face? What would be the most fun? What would be the most advantageous to advancing to the ALDS? A little prediction time here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Red Sox won their second straight game in Toronto against the Blue Jays last night. The final score was 7-1. Garrett Crochet went 8 shutout innings, striking out 6 en route to his 18th win of the season. He finishes the 2025 regular season with a 2.59 ERA and 255 strikeouts. With the Astros losing last night, the Sox magic number to clinch a playoff spot is down to 1. Game 3 of that series is tonight. First pitch at 7:07. Brian Baio will start opposite Louis Varland. And you can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is tonight at 6:07. And Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England hosts the Carolina Panthers on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Both teams are 1-2 on the season. Wednesday's Patriots injury report was as follows. 2 players did not participate. That's linebacker Kalavon Chaisson and guard Jared Wilson. 2 players were also listed as limited participants. That's Christian Barmore and Christian Gonzalez. 5 players, meanwhile, were listed as full participants. That's Carlton Davis, Hunter Henry, Mac Hollins, Anthony Jennings, and Marte Mapu. New this morning, Sports Business Journal reports that the Patriots owner Robert Kraft plans to divest 8% of the New England franchise. Global investment firm Sixth Street Partners reportedly has a deal in place to acquire 3% of the Patriots at a valuation of a little over $9 billion. Tonight, week 4 in the NFL season begins with Thursday Night Football as the 2-1 Cardinals host the 2-1 Seahawks. Kickoff is at 8:15. Coverage via Westwood One begins over on WEEI 8:50 a.m. at 7:30. And finally, the Bruins have announced that Zdeno Chara has been named a hockey operations advisor and mentor to the franchise. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Let's make sure we also squeeze in the Woo Sox report. Okay, thanks very much, Dan Ball, Stiz Grimey. Time for this week's Woo Sox Report, brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Central Mass Out of the Darkness Walk to Fight Suicide. It's this Saturday, September 27th at Polar Park in Worcester. As you all know, the Woo Sox season has come to an end. Another great season for the AAA affiliate of the Boston Red Sox out in Worcester. But there are significant contributions continuing to be made by members of the Woo Sox on your Boston Red Sox, including Peyton Tolley, who appeared in last night's game, a 7-1 win for your Red Sox, giving them a magic number of 1 to make the postseason. Also potentially on the mound this weekend in Detroit as the Red Sox could clinch a wild card spot and be toggling for the second or third seed. Could be young Kyle Harrison and, of course, the very impressive Connelly Early with 3 starts on the season. There's your Woo Sox report for this week, everybody. Let's keep our eyes on the Red Sox to see the best of the Worcester Red Sox the remainder of the season, well into October, we hope. This has once again been brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Central Mass Out of the Darkness Walk to Fight Suicide this Saturday, September 27th at Polar Park in Worcester. This is your old pal, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and that is what is trending at WEEI and WEEI.com. More about your Boston Red Sox on WEEI Afternoons when we return.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We're joined every Thursday by Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Rob Bradford, how are we doing this week?
Let me tell you, the exchange rate of yelling McFarland in Canada is outstanding.
They love
even
it.
More powerful. Wow. The best. The best.
I thought they just powered everything by wind power up there. I wasn't sure how they did that north of the border.
That wind power and Molson.
Burning. Ooh, that does sound good. Yeah. Dead beavers and things like that, I thought, is what they were doing. Anyway, Red Sox are 2-for-2 in Toronto. I said on Monday or Tuesday, I thought this is going to be 6 days from hell. I thought this is going to be like a nightmare, white knuckle, try to back your way into the playoffs on the last day of the year. I thought it was going to be stressful. And it turns out it's been pretty smooth sailing for the Red Sox so far.
It's amazing what you do when you get hits. You know, it's crazy. And I think that that's been, to me, the biggest thing. Is that they've had more guys and runners in scoring position than any team in baseball over the last week. And now, like, they aren't driving them all in. But it's not terrible. And they're moving the line a little bit more. They pop up a few dingers yesterday, which is a nice surprise for them. And then on top of it all, I mean, I think if you had to say what has been the biggest difference maker for this team over the course of this road trip, it's Masa Yoshida, the guy that we thought, oh, you know, it was a waste of time. You're not even going to play him, whatever it is. But we also were saying when Roman Anthony got hurt, at least I was, that this is the guy who has to step up because he hit from the left side. You need that bat. You need to replace Roman Anthony somehow, some way. So you got Yoshida, you got Abreu back, the guy who dominates little league plays, you know, throwing for right field to get first base, to guys get out at first base. Which, by the way, like Kirk, what are you doing? Like, I watched him the at bat before.
Oh, I know
that he
grounded out. He made it like a third of the way to first. I know the exact play you're talking about. I said to my wife, I'm like, yeah. I can't believe this guy's so slow.
He's gotta check
and then
out,
he got
maybe.
Thrown out at first a couple innings later.
He sure did.
Wild.
Right, and that's what I think. I'm like, it's like, okay, I know you're slow, but in that case, you gotta try a little bit. Listen, I'm slow, I try. So
it's an effort thing. I'm fast, so I don't know.
Jones doesn't know what it's like.
I don't understand what it's like. Yeah.
Really?
Apparently, right.
But anyway,
fast.
I would just say that it's that you have those two guys back. That's made an enormous difference. And I think also they're settling into sort of. They know, like, Cora knows what he has. And, you know, I asked him that. I said, hey, is it kind of weird? You go in the last week, you're still trying to figure out what everybody can do. And I think he sort of laughed at me and said, you know, that's not really the case. But I do think it's the case. I think that, you know, whether you have these young pitchers, you know, we thought a week ago, he thought Peyton Tolley might be an answer. And he's not an answer right now. You don't know how long these stars are going to go. You didn't have it locked in into the lineup. But I think you do a lot more than you did when you went on this road trip. And I think that's a huge, huge reason why they're winning.
All right, Rob, I don't want to get you into trouble, but I know you have an American League Cy Young Award vote.
You have a Cy Young vote
this year.
Nice.
I'll ask it this way. How strong a case does Garrett Crochet have to win the whole thing?
Wow. Wow. I mean, this is, I feel like I'm going to be put on the BBWA court of law here.
Oh, man.
Brought in.
You I'm imagine?
Brought in. You don't,
blindfolded.
By the way, you don't want, you don't want to see that. That's like on a remote island somewhere. No, you don't want to see that.
Sean's using a wig, a white one, a white powder one.
Yeah, the gavel.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All I can think of is that James Bond film where they take him to the island with, you know, out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they're shooting things off his head, or he's shooting. I don't know. It's very well phrased, as always. There's a reason why I could go back to the reasons why the Red Sox are winning. You know, you don't focus on Lucas Giolito. I think one of the biggest things is the dork bump the Red Sox have gotten from having a player on your podcast.
Agreed.
I mean, I think that's science.
He hasn't been able to stand up on the mound really since that happened. I hate to correlate the two, but he came through two days ago.
It's not the individual; it's the overall team accomplishment.
There it is.
Yes, that's true. Everyone in that clubhouse was buzzing about that interview, and it was good vibes.
We're big on vibes.
So how strong a case did Garrett Crochet have? I think he has a very, very strong case. And I think that obviously it's kind of sucks that when you have to go down to these last starts to decide this sort of thing, and usually you don't. I mean, honestly, you don't. A lot of people think, oh, well, you got to wait till the very end. Usually you don't. I think in this case you do. It's that close between him and Schuble. But I think that our guy Sammy from Playtest, he had a really, really interesting tweet earlier today about sort of basically like some stats that said when it counts the most, how is Crochet? And Crochet has the upper hand when it comes to that. So that was pretty interesting to me. But other than that, I would just say, yeah, he has a very strong case.
Yeah, because I would just quickly say if it goes to the ERA leader every year, then you wouldn't vote. Or if it goes to like the WAR leader, you don't even vote. Like, yeah. I just look at Crochet, and even though he wasn't amazing in September, he was fantastic last night when he needed to be. More innings than Schuble, more Ks than Schuble, more wins than Schuble. I would go with Crochet as my number one. Schuble a close second. Awesome season once again for Schuble, but yeah, I think some of those metrics that you mentioned too, like when they need it the most or late in games and things like that, he's stood out. But anyway, that'd be my vote.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear a word you just said. I just muted you.
I hope you're listening. I would let you know that if your Cy Young vote is ever for sale, Keith and I are interested.
No, we'll take it.
In purchasing.
We'll take it.
But I just want you to know that. Yeah. Red Sox, we don't know who they're going to play, Rob. Because so many things can still happen, and they haven't even officially clinched, but the magic number is one, so I think it's safe to start speculating. Is there a team they should want? Is there a team they should want to avoid at all costs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think that they're going to play either Toronto or the Yankees. Let's be realistic about this. And they could actually end up playing Cleveland, which everyone will say, oh, that's a good draw. I don't know about that. And it's not only because they're winning, like, every single game. Is because the reason they're winning every single game is this insane pitching. And I think that one of the Red Sox are going to have to prove themselves when they go up against elite pitchers, what they're able to do. Not Max Scherzer, but elite pitchers. And not even Gausman. I mean, Gausman's been on a good run, but you're talking about Cleveland. This has just a wave of starters and relievers, and that's why they're winning all the time. I would say right now, and maybe it's recency bias, it is Toronto. Because I think one of the things watching Toronto is that they might not have that alpha pitcher that is going to scare you. And also, not having Bo Bichette is a huge thing for them. You guys see their lineup. It's not nearly the same. They don't have that great a lineup. They make a lot of contact, but they don't have that great a lineup. And so I think to answer your question, I think right now, again, maybe it's because recency bias, maybe because I'm standing like two feet from the place that they're like building the mound right now. But I would say the Blue Jays.
My guy Lucas Giolito is five innings away from 150 for the season.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, which would bump it up a $250,000 incentive. He's currently scheduled to pitch the last game of the season. Now, there's a great chance they've already clinched at that point, and maybe they might not even be able to move up or down even at that point. What do you think they do with that? Do they keep him on regular rest and like, have him start, or do they say, hey, let's just save him full go, extra rest for the playoffs, but also trying to figure out this incentive thing?
Yeah, it's one of the things that I'm anxious to get the answer to, and then as soon as we get the answer to when he's going to pitch, I'm going to run up to him and say, number one, what's your favorite baseball movie? Number two, have they given you $250,000? Yeah. So it's, but it's. I think that to me, wouldn't you, and you tell me if you agree, I mean, to me, it doesn't, if they don't have anything to play for, it doesn't make the sense to pitch him, because if you pitch him, then you're sort of sacrificing potentially a game three in the wild card. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me to pitch him at all, if unless you absolutely need him. And if you do pitch him, then okay, well, you just want him to get his work in. Maybe you just want to throw a couple innings. Well, that's not going to get you to five innings. So I am really anxious to see if the Red Sox would just float him that bonus.
Yeah,
That's what they should do.
They really should.
That's what they should do. Like, this season.
Like, we don't need you in the final outing, assuming that they've already clinched, yeah. And they should just give him the money. Like, that's exactly what they should do.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I don't think, you know, they're cheap in that way. And you know, I go back. This is way, way back.
They got lots of extra money hanging out from Devers.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, it's floating all over the place. It's great. It's like under every rock. It's like a scavenger hunt, the Devers money. But, you know, you go way, way back again, Steve Avery. I don't know if you guys remember that, where I think it was Jimmy Williams who pitched him, and Duquette was pissed because, you know, all he had to do was to not pitch him in this meaningless game. He pitched him and got his bonus. But there's stories like that all the time. I think that, you know, I think that Giolito, because of, once again, because his brand has never been hotter, and if they did him dirty, there'd be a huge, huge, you don't want to get the dork people mad at you.
Oh, they'd hear about it.
No,
they
would
hear about it.
No.
Well, Rob Bradford, as always, we appreciate the time. Sounds like we'll be talking to you into October as well with the Red Sox there. Magic number down to one. They could have already wrapped up a spot by the time they get on the field tonight. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, can I tell you my great travel, my travel thing today?
It's please.
Great. Just 2 seconds.
Okay. Take the over on that.
This is, okay. But I'll do my best. So there's a good chance they come back from Toronto next week, right? Getting back to Toronto puts a pretty big dent in the baseballs and boring travel budget because, you know, it's going to Toronto. But what
Tariffs, customs.
You'd sold a bunch of hats and that's how you funded it. Maybe. But I actually was going to fly out today, but I got the rare, hey, does anyone want to cancel their flight? Bump it till tomorrow. So I'm like, yeah, I do. Yeah, I want to get the money. Yeah, I want to get the credit. And yeah, I want to stay for today, which is going to be the clincher. Everybody wins. So anyway, nobody cares about that.
No, I do. I love that. It was a very insightful 2 seconds. We appreciate it.
Any story where someone's saving money, I'm in on it. I absolutely love that.
Nice. All right.
All right, guys.
Rob, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
I'll see you. Bye. Okay.
Do you think think we got his vote? Do you think we swayed him to crochet? No, I don't know if
he broke him down. Now, he didn't want to cop to it on the air. I think he wore him down to the nubs there. Yeah. I think you got him, yeah.
You think he'll publicly announce his AL Cy Young vote on our show?
He should.
Yeah.
No, he definitely should.
He definitely
should.
Whole
ballot. So how does that work? They only get to vote on
maybe?
One
or
no,
three.
But you only get to vote on like one award.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It rotates. So I think this year he has AL Cy Young.
So he can't vote on AL MVP, but he gets to vote on AL Cy Young.
I believe that's how it works. Yeah, there's so many writers.
That's so dumb.
Because you
that's
get two per market. Well, I guess each market's probably a little bit different, but Boston probably has enough to go around.
None of what they do makes sense.
No.
None of it. All apologies to Rob.
Scott Rolen's in the Hall of Fame, so no, they don't know what they're doing.
Like, why? So you cover baseball all year,
yeah.
And you get one award to vote on at the end of the year. You can't vote on all of them? Maybe you shouldn't vote on the NL ones, but you can't even vote on all the AL ones?
No, you get Rolaids relief this year. Like, I get Rolaids relief? All right, Chapman.
So dumb. Manager, not
we'll do our own awards.
I don't know. Like, how do I vote? Like, what do I do?
We'll do our own show awards at the end of the year.
We'll do our own awards.
Team and league?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
American League.
We're going to vote on everything, or do we just assign each other one each?
No, we each get one.
Okay, good.
We each get to do one. And we'll have somebody else come in. And,
Dice, I'm sure Dice will be up for
Dice
it.
Dice would be
He's
happy to do it.
Getting left out of stuff. He'll probably text about it. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback. We'll get back into the Patriots coming up as well. But on the way next, it's the return of the madness. Kiefer Madness.
The boys of summer with another win last night in Toronto, and the Red Sox front office report is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov, and it is the president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, who joins us this morning. Hello, Sam.
Morning, guys, and they just told me the great news. Congrats, Courtney.
Thank you so much, Sam. That's very nice.
I assume Greg is in the mix for the name.
I'm glad you finished that.
The Godfather, actually.
I'm glad you finished that sentence. I didn't know. When you say in the mix, I get nervous.
Come on, Greg. Come on. Jeez.
We will probably need some kind of a bag of merch for the young fella, and hopefully he will be a baseball fan. So if you could send something.
Very possible.
Hey, listen, take a moment here and appreciate, I'm sure you do on your own anyway, but, you know, in July, you had a tough press conference that you had to hold when it came to Devers, or maybe that was late June, whatever, and here you are on the precipice of the playoffs. So I'm sure organizationally you guys are very excited.
Well, we are no victory laps yet. Still a lot of work to do. But if you go back to the off season, really starting with the winter meetings in Dallas, the goal was to put together a roster that was built to try and compete for the division and get into the postseason and make a deep run. So we feel like we're getting closer, but still a long way to go.
Sam, obviously it's the players that step up to the bat, but looking at where you guys have been throughout the season, how much success do you owe to both Alex Cora for keeping these guys in line and then Craig Breslow for the moves that he's made?
Yeah, they both guys, Courtney, have done an extraordinary job, starting with Craig Breslow, our leader of our baseball operations group. It's an incredibly complex job, building for the near term and for the long term. He had an outstanding off season and has done a great job over the course of the year. And obviously can't say enough about Alex, but the entire baseball operations group has just been extraordinary and really worked hard to get to this point. And as Greg said, it was we struggled mightily. We were sort of 500 in April, and we had a tough May, and June wasn't much better. So this team has really, you know, gotten hot and picked it up in the first part of the summer, and scuffled a little bit here over the last couple weeks. So it's good to see the last couple nights in Toronto as we try to make this postseason push that we're going in the right direction.
Sam, when you look at this series against Toronto and the pressure of playing in the postseason, we know is heightened, but you're able to win a series against Toronto. The pressure was on. Do you feel good? You know, obviously you still got to make the playoffs, but do you feel good that if you get in and when you get in, that you're able to compete with any team that you guys go up against?
Yeah, we do, and I'll tell you, the last I've been at the game the last two nights here in Toronto. It's an incredible atmosphere, intense. The way the postseason race has come together here, extraordinary how close these races are. So every game has felt like a postseason game for us for some time, and I can tell you the vibe and energy in that clubhouse is awesome. These guys are loving it. This is what we all live for. So it's been a very, very intense atmosphere. And you know, we're young, we got a lot of young guys. So, it's the first time through, first experience for a big group of our players competing for October baseball. So it's been great to have the type of energy and to play the way we have when it's mattered the most. But again, as you say, we got work to do. We got to clinch our spot here and play good baseball over the next four games and keep going here each day.
Sam, where do you stand on the new format versus the one-game playoff as it pertains to the wild card?
It's good question, Curtis. We were talking about it the last couple of days internally. I'd love to figure out a way to get to the one game playoff just to get back to it as opposed to the tiebreaker. Only for this reason, for those of us who were around in 2021, that game at Fenway Park when we hosted the Yankees was probably the most electric environment in baseball I've ever experienced, and that includes going back a couple of decades. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of things in baseball in terms of format changes, and so I think we should explore ways to get back to that. You probably need to cut games off the regular season because I think the current format of the playoffs is great. I think just the right amount of teams get in. The extra wild card has kept more and more markets involved. So I think we're at the right number of postseason teams, but having a way to have the schedule fall where you could have a one game playoff decide a tie. Tiebreaker would be extraordinary if we can do it. It's just hard when you're playing 162 and all these postseason games. So we'll see. But look, we've had this thing in our own hands, and right now we got to have a good four baseball games in front of us.
As long as we're talking rule stuff, quickly, I wanted to get your thoughts on robot umps, and it's probably a good thing that you're on this week because I feel like. That Breslow might be biased toward the robots.
Oh,
Sam. but how do you feel about it?
Can someone else ask a more respectful question in a more respectful manner?
Listen,
please?
The man on this very show, Sam, he said he likened himself to a robot at times. So I think he likes the joke.
If nothing else, Brez has proven to us he can laugh at himself, and he's actually got a great sense of humor. Look, I'm a huge fan. I think you guys know, we've said on this show many times, innovation, change has to come to baseball, and credit to MLB, credit to Theo Epstein, who worked hard on behalf of the industry on the rule changes that we got. He worked really hard with Dan Halem and Morgan Sword and the competition committee, the players and the owners, Tom Werner's on that committee to get ABS instituted. I think it'll be great. I think the fans will like it. And it'll be fast too. You've seen the system, the challenge system, how it works. It works very, very fast. It will not slow down the pace of the game, and I think it'll be a great addition to how the game is played and great for our fans.
Sam, the latest we've gotten on Roman Anthony is that he has quite a bit of room to go before he can start baseball activities. So is the team expected, I guess I should say, to just not have him for the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're holding out hope, and these types of injuries, you never know, but it's a tough one, and he's feeling a lot better, which is great, but there's a big difference between feeling better and getting back on the exercise bike and starting to slowly work out versus doing baseball activities. So, you know, we're just kind of holding out hope, but we're also realistic that he's recovering from a really tough injury. So that's a tough one, but we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Sam, one of the things you talked about, you said you had a young team, and I know I've been around teams that have been younger and veteran teams. Sometimes they say when you have a young team and you get into the postseason or the playoffs, those guys just play looser. They might not know the whole pressure that comes with being there. Where do you stand when it comes to, you know, a younger team versus more of a veteran team heading into a postseason?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Wiggy. I mean, you know, you've seen guys like Sadon and Willie and Jaron step up, you know, in moments that have really mattered. And sometimes, yeah, you don't even realize the magnitude of what you're doing at certain moments. That said, we've got the balance of a veteran manager and guy like Jason Varitek on the bench who's been through it all. So, and of course, Alex Bregman with his leadership, he's never missed the postseason. He told me he doesn't plan on missing the postseason this year. So it's a good balance. But I do think the youth and energy adds a certain lift to this club, and it's important that we have it, and good for these guys. I can tell you, they are really, really enjoying these games, these meaningful games in September. It's been been fun to see. They're so into coming to the ballpark early each and every day, and it's been fun to watch.
So, Sam, the offseason with Crochet, with the Crochet deal, was widely celebrated as a great move by the organization, and he may have exceeded what fans expected. What have you seen in getting to know Garrett Crochet in his first season in Boston?
He loves it here. He loves the pressure of being the number one. He's so relaxed and so chill. You know, he was asked about his performance last night. He's kind of like, look, we'll talk about that at a month from now. I mean, he wants to be in an environment where baseball matters, and it's been great. He's really enjoying it, and he's a guy that, you know, as long as we've been here, you got to have a guy at the top of that rotation that can calm things down for everybody when they're not going well, a guy that you can rely on. And he's been, just like you said, exactly what the doctor ordered for this team. And we're really, really grateful for everything he's done and excited for his future here.
All right, Sam Kennedy, I don't want to jinx anything, so I will just say good luck this evening, and then we'll follow up on the other stuff.
See how the A's do first.
I'm a legendary jinx, so I don't want. But we're very excited. So,
well, we'll keep going, as they say in our game, one game at a time, and keep things going. Let's have a good weekend.
All right, thanks, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
That is Sam Kennedy, president of Boston Red Sox. And again, you're in if the Astros win today. So mm-hmm. That's a day game. You may know by late this afternoon.
You mean if the Athletics win?
I mean, no, I thought it was if Houston loses.
Yes.
Yeah, Houston loses and you're in.
Yeah.
And you're more than likely in. It's one. The magic number right. Is one.
Can I ask Chris?
Like the Metallica song, Sean.
The baseball question.
I don't
question,
know what song that is.
Is if the Astros lose to the Athletics today, do you then change what you do with maybe your rotation heading into the Detroit series, knowing that you're already in?
No, because I think there's a chance that you could potentially get home field in the wild card if you get. I have to go back through it, but right now the Red Sox are three games behind. You're right. No, you would. Yeah, because I think either way, they're planning on their rotation being set now. I wonder what they would do this weekend with other starters, because even if they're not going deep into the game, you don't want to be on extra rest, like mm-hmm. 10 days rest entering the playoffs. Okay. So it could, but I don't. There's so many moving parts with the way the new wild card goes, I can't be quoted on that directly.
All right.
I mean, I feel like the suggestion that Crochet was dealing with fatigue flies out the window after last night. Am I right about
yeah.
that?
Yeah. I mean, well, yes. Point going.
Yeah, he looked like he was just cruising.
The fastball was 98.5, and then seventh inning, I think it was, he was throwing 99. I mean, yeah. The guy is lights out.
Yeah.
Cheddar.
Not Chime's favorite cheese.
No.
We learned on the
I radio. Do like a good sharp cheddar, though, man.
On what?
Just
in general. Oh, just yeah, right just out of the
eat.
Package.
Did you ever eat?
Take it out, slice it up, maybe Chime. Add a couple pepperonis in. Who knows?
Oh.
Chime, did you ever eat as a furry? And did you change how you ate when you were?
Definitely no to the second half. Mm-hmm. I've never changed how I've eaten at any point in time. So I think so, but I don't remember.
Was this college?
Are there things that you are not able to eat that you used to be able to eat?
So sushi, I can
but
eat.
But I mean things that bother you. Well, sushi, you're not supposed to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I can eat cooked sushi. Mean like things that have turned me off?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Meat.
Oh, really?
Like grilled chicken.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, it's making
really?
Me.
Yeah, and wow. Like Santo cooking at home, like a grilled chicken or turkey meatballs. Oh my god, the smell just.
Mm. So you have demanded that Santo go vegan during the entire. Is Santo going to forego alcohol?
No, he's been drinking for like five.
Yeah.
Since. Yeah, he's been enjoying himself.
I feel like he ought to do that in solidarity with you.
No.
Is forego alcohol for the length of the pregnancy.
That's okay, but I will say the biggest thing is my smell has been so heightened. Like I've said a few times coming into this room, like Wiggy, is that a new cologne? Like I've picked up on things, but also if something smells terrible.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Very interesting how the body changes, huh?
It's wild.
Isn't it fascinating? That's evolutionarily, right? Yeah. So when you're in the olden times, you don't have refrigerators. You have to be able to smell if things have gone bad.
Yeah.
And us men have no clue.
No clue.
Yeah. Clueless.
That's why you can't poop when you're on vacation. Also evolutionary. I don't
That's
know if you
true.
Know. Oh. I don't know if you know that or not.
Right. Wait, really?
What?
Yeah. Wait, you didn't know that?
I've never had an issue with that in my life.
A lot of people do.
I haven't had an issue
with that. You're very regular.
Well, so that's the theory behind why Jared Goff stinks on the road, is because he can't poop on the road.
Yeah. I wonder what happened on the road, by the way. Jaren Duran deleted his whole Instagram account.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
Why?
Because people, he's talked about how people haven't been nice to him, but also it's like going into the playoffs, a lot of people do that.
Playoff mode. LeBron doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Doc.
I think Jalen does it too. I think a few Celtics guys do it.
Yeah. I'm with Sham. I got no problem pooping on the road.
Especially in a nice hotel.
Oh, you get, man.
It's great.
Yeah.
What? So a texter wants to know, I hope this is appropriate, but with the heightened sense of smell, can you now, when you make the turn into Southie from Seaport, can you now smell Santo's breath?
Nope. Santo, very good with his teeth brushing. Very, very good.
All right.
Very good.
All right.
Yep.
You might want to instruct a little Santo in the teeth brushing.
Yep. I will. And that was the one thing I brought up, was that I felt like a mom because I was always saying it. It didn't mean that he didn't brush his teeth.
Oh, you're going to be an amazing mom.
Thank you. I'm very excited. Yeah.
Be interesting.
I'm excited for the late nights and all the cuddles and everything that comes along with it. I know it's a lot of work, and I just feel very blessed to be able to do it.
A lot of discussion in the YouTube chat moments ago about an emergency roadshow shower.
Oh, kill me.
Well, the baby will be here by then. Oh, you mean before the baby comes?
Before it.
Yeah, we could do it for the winter show.
We could do whatever. Just do a specific or do some kind of baby shower event.
I think that's a lovely idea.
Yeah. You don't like it?
No, I love it.
Oh, okay.
You should jump all over.
You know how many gifts you would get that you don't have to go out and spend your own money to get? So I think it's a smart move.
We're working on the real baby shower right now.
This won't take away from that.
No. I'm just saying, like, what places charge is laugh out loud funny.
Is there anything that you want?
You don't have to have it at a place. Just have it at somebody's house or something.
Because it's more work for people to do it at the house. Like, we're just, there was one place, and I'm not going to say the name, but they were $35,000.
God
I actually laughed. Okay, good.
Stop it. That place must have been like.
I didn't even respond.
That place must have been like way up there.
Don't you think women everywhere would rejoice if there was a law against showers? Like, I've never met anyone.
No, women love it.
No.
They hate
it.
I don't think they do.
My shower's not going to be like.
The mom loves it, or the bride loves it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The men don't want to be there.
No, but I'm not going to be like opening presents at it. It's going to be more of like a cocktail food situation. For everybody else, cocktails, open bar.
Yeah.
$35,000 for a baby shower?
No, it was insane. It was actually insane.
I can hook you up with my boy Andy at Kowloon. I can't get a great price.
Guys, we're having a destination baby shower in Hilton Head.
Wiggins Courtney's having it at the Kowloon.
Well, when you say $35,000, whatever place you was looking at had to be very, very bourgeois.
You think?
Yes.
Do you know her?
That is true.
No. I mean, it was so much higher than any other place that I've reached out to that it was just so shocking. And I thought
somebody's supposed to do this for you.
Right.
Well,
you don't organize your own baby shower.
My mom was like, I don't want to pick a place that you don't like. Yeah. So
isn't it just a room where you people go?
Yeah.
Were you like renting out Abe and Louie's for the day?
Why don't you do, what about Knights of Columbus in Leominster? I can set you up over there.
I can take you up at the Legion.
Yeah, I just want a place that's American convenient Legion, for everyone.
Down the South Shore.
Why don't you just have
you
an M Street
doing
ring?
Her shower at the the American Legion.
It's just a room.
How much? Do you have the eggs in the jar? The fermented eggs, please.
Also, John in the car. Like, I won't have it for the next 5 months. Like, John in the car, I might ban.
Why?
Because I'm just over him. He's like, poor Santo, over and over. That's his only line.
Oh,
poor Santo. Santo's not paying for it.
Yeah, and he's not poor.
The Ritz-Carlton penthouse.
I'll tell you off air where this place is.
I want to know.
And you will be shocked.
Is it paparazzi?
It's not $35,000 level, then they should be called on that BS.
No, I'm not saying them.
Wrong.
I've learned my lesson.
See, the problem is some poor young lady or older lady or next person is going to get sucked into a $35,000invoice.
What about outside the box baby shower at Hooters?
Yeah.
That's always a good one.
Well, it is a boy.
The
so.
Men will show up for that one.
There will not be no men at this.
Oh, no men at the baby shower.
That's sexist.
Gals only.
Not even the husband, right? Not even Santo.
Yeah, no, Santo.
No, Santo just shows up at the end and grabs all the gifts.
Yeah. Right.
That's his job.
Precisely. I'm sure he'll do something during the day.
Are you guys going
to... I'll ask him to mix in some waters.
You love the video, and are you going to go... Video and the whole like.
No, I'm not going to have a videographer for that.
No, for the pregnancy, like when the baby comes out, are you big? Are
you can't do that anymore.
Oh, you can't?
No, the hospital doesn't allow you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're not even allowed really to take videos of the screen during the ultrasound, but they'll say like, you can when I leave the room.
Oh, I did not know that.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay.
Very exciting. Life milestones happening right before our eyes on the show.
Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox go up 2-0 in their last regular season series with the Blue Jays. Last night's game ending 7-1. Garrett Crochet went 8 innings, giving up 0 runs on 3 hits while striking out 6. The Sox magic number now sits at 1. They've got one more with the Blue Jays in Toronto tonight. 7:07 first pitch with Brian Baio taking the mound. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Go Shopping, Get Rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:07 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. The Patriots are getting ready for their Panthers game on Sunday. And a lot of people want to know what the status of Christian Gonzalez is going to be after Christian said that he was good to go last week. Mike Vrabel asked about this upcoming week against the Panthers and what Christian's status is going to be if he's good to go. Here's Mike Vrabel.
That's the plan. You know, excited about his efforts and willingness to get back and work hard and practice last week. And then again, made a decision. I made a decision at the end of the week that just... It needed a little bit more time. That's what happens when you start this return to play and you practice and you work hard and then you see how you respond and then to make a decision if you're, you know, if that player's, you know, ready for a football game. We felt like that he probably needed a little bit more time and hopefully he'll be ready to go. Excited to see him and everybody else practice today.
Oh, what about Biddy Early's for the shower? I have an in over there.
I don't know where that is.
Oh, you don't know where Biddy Early's
no.
is? Oh, a really, really glamorous place.
Okay.
Financial district.
Biddy Early's.
Biddy Early's. You've never been to Biddy Early's?
No.
You only go there late.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I love that.
That's an interesting name for it then.
Thursday Night Football, we'll see Seahawks at Cardinals, 8:15 kickoff. You can listen to the game right here on EEI AM tonight. Due to the Sox game. That was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Shaw's and Star Market have lowered hundreds of prices on the items you buy most, like boneless chicken breasts, snacks, cereal, and so much more. See full savings claim details at shaws.com/lowerprices and starmarket.com/lowerprices. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. That's what's trending. We've got your Hill Notes coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Sam Kennedy earlier today on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can hit the rewind feature, listen to Sam, any of our Patriots Monday, Friday interviews, our interview upcoming with Rob Bradford, who normally joins us at this time. We're going to talk to him at 12:30 here
All
today.
Right.
You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and tune in apps. Sam Kennedy says they're not going to take any victory laps, quote unquote, yet.
Ooh, that means there's one coming.
Well, that was my perhaps I'm reading too much into that, but the implication to me is
there's going to be one.
and it's going to be amazing.
So is that just, is that his way of saying, you know, if we win a World Series, we'll take a victory lap? Is that his way of saying when we officially clinch, we'll take a victory lap? Do
they have
a victory lap in mind? Because I have one.
I do too. I think baseball, we see it all the time. You clinch, you get a party. You win the wild card, you get a party. You win the division series, you get a party. You win the ALCS, you get a party. You win the World Series, you get an even bigger party. There's a chance for five parties, parades, champagne baths, that kind of thing. People, they get excited, and then it's always a debate every year. Oh, they should wait till the end. It's like, who cares? They have a good time. They get to put the goggles on. They get to squirt champagne on each other. That's fine. So I think maybe that's what he meant, being like, let's not get ahead of ourselves just yet. I know the magic number is only one, but crazy things happen all the time. So we can't puff our chest out and be like, we made the right move if we miss the playoffs. But I think there's a lot of numbers, and there's a lot of like what the team has done record-wise, run scoring-wise, this, that, and the other thing. This is the most simple thing you need to know. At the time of the trade, the Red Sox were not a playoff team. Talking about the Devers trade. At the time of the trade, the Red Sox were out of the playoffs. They are now in the playoffs. Also at the time of the trade, the Giants were in the playoffs. They have now been eliminated from the playoffs.
Last night.
They're out.
With a win. They cannot make the playoffs.
They cannot make
one more loss. They can't even have a winning season.
He made them worse.
Well, look, here's what I would say about it. Because we get texts like this all the time. And I see it all the time in the YouTube chat. Subscribe to WEEI on YouTube. Great spot to watch and chat there. Always
subscribe
a healthy
to the
chat.
Dork Podcast while you're there.
Oh, yeah, get
you're
in
already
there.
On YouTube. You might as well jump on over to that Dork Podcast, too.
One click, two clicks.
Yeah, it's great.
Easy.
It's
you're
free.
Done. Bam.
It's free.
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thank you. So, text line, we get this all the time. Let's answer it quickly, Keith,
with
a yes or a no.
Okay.
Guys, in all seriousness, do you think the Red Sox would not be better with Devers at DH?
I think they're better off without him.
No. I don't think they'd be better with Rafael Devers. So we all answer no, including Rafi himself. Outside of what you think, okay? And I've been keeping a master Rafael Devers file ever since the trade for this reason.
Sick brag, bro.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot
of time out of my day single day. And we do this every day in Grab Bag as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not to spoil it.
Right.
This is a fact. The Red Sox have won more games without Devers than they did with him. They were one game over 500 with him. They are 15 games over 500 without him. The Giants were 10 games over 500 without him. They're 13 games under with him. So the Giants are worse, fact, with Devers. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox are better, fact, without Devers. You can say Devers would make them better. That's an opinion.
Right.
What we know is they're better without him and have been better without him. They score more runs without him than they did with him. The Giants score fewer runs with him than they did without him. He's hitting .234 with an OPS under 800 in San Fran. He does have 19 homers and 49 RBIs, so that's not nothing. But these are all facts. This is all what happened. This is not guesswork. This is not an opinion. And, oh, by the way, if you're like, well, the team, once Anthony got here, the team turned it around and they would have done the same with Devers. They've sucked the last 3 years with Devers here. 78-84, 78-84, 81-81. So, I mean, Devers was not a difference maker for going on a fourth year while he was here.
Right.
They should take a victory lap on Breslow should be out. You know.
No, but there's something
next week, they should let Craig Breslow
take his
victory lap. They deserve it. They won this unquestionable without even getting anything in return.
Yeah.
They made the right decision. They made the playoffs because they traded Rafael Devers. The facts are right there in front of you if you care to look at them.
No, because there is something to be said about just like the turd in the punch bowl.
100%.
Right? Like, it's not just because I know there's a lot of people that are like, well, he's 30 home runs. You need 30 home runs.
Plug those numbers in.
Right. Like I don't know if it is. I don't know if it works that way. No, and also, people didn't kick a fit when they got rid of other 30 home run guys. Hunter Renfro, Tyler O'Neill, Adam Duvall, they're all 30 home run guys.
Yeah.
But people made a big deal out of Devers. He was definitely overrated. I'm going to go back to when they signed him. They needed to sign him. I'm not anti them signing him at the time that they did, but it ended up being a mistake and they were able to get out from under it. I'm still upset that they weren't able to get more back. They literally should. They basically just cut him, like, for what you got in return. But the stance that they'd be better with him, I don't get, because there's been enough of a sample size here that they're better without him. Preseason, it was all everybody was willing to do whatever it took to win except for him. Seydon Rafaela plays center field, second base in the same game. Alex Bregman showed up, said he would play second base. You have other guys moving all around the field. Even Trevor Story's first year here didn't even play shortstop. Marcelo Meyer played like four different positions. Kristen Campbell's taken grounders everywhere. Roman Anthony's played both corner outfield spots. They're all willing to do whatever. This guy won't do it. Highest paid guy on the team won't do it.
Yeah.
There is like a trickle-down effect to that.
Trust me, I'm a huge talent guy. I am. But they're more talented maybe with Devers. I'll grant you that. They're not better.
Yeah.
And you can play this out with a million. Who's
they're just being stubborn.
Who's
all
more,
it is.
Who's more talented, Nomar or Doug Mankiewicz?
Nomar was certainly much more talented.
Okay, sometimes you have to subtract the turd in the punch bowl
right.
and make a move for the betterment of the team. Who's more talented, Pop Douglas or Efton Chisholm?
Pop Douglas. It's Pop Douglas.
Why do we all want Pop Douglas out of there?
Yeah, no, I'm like, hold on a second.
I mean, Ramondre Stevenson's another example of this, and it's not even like turd in the punch bowl. Sometimes the team needs a message sent to them.
Yeah, like Kyrie Irving. Like there's
Kyrie Irving's a great one. Subtracting Randy Moss off the Patriots in 2010, they are less talented without Devers. I'll grant you that. Devers has a ton of talent.
Yeah.
He doesn't get it.
But there's
he doesn't get it, and the team needed him out of there. Everything clicked once he left. Everything.
But also, it made Cora's job easier. Like Cora couldn't figure out a way to get Devers to be a team player, and so they moved on from him. And for everybody that was just like, well, if they just had Roman Anthony up at the same time, there's no guarantee Roman Anthony's able to have the kind of impact that he had if Devers was still here clogging up DH, because now what do you do with your outfield? When everybody's healthy, you got Duran, you got Willie Abreu, you got Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer at that point was still healthy. You also had the guys that had to play against lefties like Romy and Ref Snyder. So like, how do you jumble that? Does Roman Anthony ever even become the player that he is if Rafael Devers is still here clogging up a spot? My answer is no. No, the answer is clearly no.
So, and again, we can all have our opinions on whether or not they'd be even better if Devers were here. All I know is since he left, they're a better team. And all I know is since he got to the Giants, they're worse. Red Sox are going to the playoffs. He's not. Maybe that's just a big, giant coincidence, or maybe the answer is right in front of you.
I don't know.
617-779-7937. Johnny is in Brooklyn waiting patiently on this very topic. Go ahead, Johnny.
Thank you so much for taking the call. I will be the dissenting voice here. I'm not on the team, and I was not in the clubhouse, so I will concede that. But on Devers' last day with the Red Sox, they completed an 8-for-11 win streak. He hit a game-winning home run against the Yankees and said to the media that the problems were behind them. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they were.
Yeah, he probably knew he was getting traded.
If he were on the team now, I don't know. I wasn't there. If he were on the team now, we're talking in facts, he would lead the team in home runs. He would lead the team in RBIs. I'm not against them trading him. I wasn't against it. I was against them getting nothing in return. So I think that our offense is probably going to be a player short here on this run. As far as a victory lap goes, they can have a victory lap if they win the World Series. And I don't think that's going to happen,
wow.
Although it would be great if it did.
Hang on, Johnny. The second they traded Devers, people were like, they're going to be worse. They're not. People mocked Craig Breslow for saying they'd be better without him. They're 15 games over 500 without him. They're going to make the playoffs, and now the bar is they have to win the World Series.
But also, when they had him, and when you were riding high after the Yankees sweep, were you saying they're going to win the World Series then?
Please. No.
No, that was before the Roman Anthony. That was before the
Roman Anthony wouldn't have been the same. I'm telling you, Roman Anthony wouldn't have been the same. He probably wouldn't have played as much.
Okay, fine. Would Giolito and Bayo, and would they not have been the same? Because I think the reason why this team has had such a great season is because they had three great starters.
Then you just answered it. Then it's not about Devers at all. Thank you. Okay. Then it's about their pitching, and it's not about Devers. And they're winning games, and they're doing it because of their pitching, and they don't need Devers. Fine, then you just answered your own question. I hope Justin in D.C.
Hold on. They haven't clinched yet.
I hope he's waiting until they officially clinch. Okay. I hope that's what Justin in D.C. is waiting for.
You might be right.
Because he just said the other day all of our takes are wrong, including Devers.
A lot of them are.
Then we mousetrap. We have a lot of wrong takes.
Yeah, yeah.
I never hide from that. The callers all hide from their wrong takes.
That's true.
But I never hide from a wrong take. I was wrong about Crochet breaking down at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope Justin in D.C. is just waiting for them to officially clinch
before
he calls in, because literally earlier this week he said all our takes are wrong, including Devers, and we mousetrapped him and said if they make the playoffs,
right.
No more moving the goalposts,
uh-huh.
If they make the playoffs, they were right to trade Devers, and he bent the knee on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he's waiting until it becomes official. So now they have to win the World Series, Keith.
That is
to
aggressive.
Win the Devers trade.
That's aggressive. They were at no point the World Series favorite at any point. People thought they were going to fall apart.
I mean, three of us had them in the World Series.
Correct.
We were very high on the show. I had them losing in the ALCS, so we were excited about them. But that was all. They weren't the favorite by any stretch.
Okay. Look, a victory lap for making the playoffs is so lame. That's fine.
Making the playoffs after missing for the last 3 years?
Well, and also, just rewind to where you were when they made the Devers trade. And I remember exactly where we were, Keith. We're like, they're going to be better.
I was playing 3-on-3 hoops, Bragg. I won a tournament.
I remember exactly what we said when we came in. They're going to be better without him.
I overheard a guy outside say that they traded Devers, and I assume he got, like, Eric shunned. I was like, there's no way.
There were people who said they're not going to watch the team. A former coworker of ours said they're never going to watch the team again.
I feel like you're missing some good games.
So
you might want to get back in.
Let me tell you. There are a lot of people who said they won't be better. They laughed at Breslow for their better. And if you think taking a victory lap on making the playoffs is lame, fine. Maybe it is.
Why? It's a long season. You can't celebrate making the playoffs.
Fine. But just I hope you said they were making the playoffs without Devers when they traded him.
Hmm.
Then you'd be consistent. Mm-hmm. If you thought they were going to fall apart without him, you were wrong. And we can victory lap for making the playoffs because that's the line to me. Did they make the playoffs without Devers or did they not? They're going to get in, I think.
Yeah,
magic number is one. And so when they do, they officially can spike the football. Uh-huh. They won the trade. Because Devers isn't going to be doing anything in the postseason again. He's going to miss the playoffs again is what he's going to do. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. Let's get to the Celtics as well. Do we have a return date for Jason Tatum?
Oh, my God.
Can we put one on the calendar?
Maybe.
We'll get to that next.
That was John Schneider, the broken manager of the broken Blue Jays, because... Fitzy, I don't know if it's the best approach. Felt a little desperate for me. You can tell me. For the manager of a team that is still in the playoffs, if they started today, to say, feels like the sky is falling.
Well, what are you
Not
doing
great.
Here? What the hell? If you want to say something behind closed doors, I don't know. But you just, in a press conference, epitomized what I thought of your team. That they are falling apart. That uh-huh. the sky is falling. That the wheels are falling off. And you stated it publicly, John Schneider, they're toast. I don't know when they're mm-hmm. done, but they're toast.
Oh, the Blue Jays? I mean, how far do you think they get? Maybe they win a postseason game at this
Maybe.
Point? Maybe. Like, they should be a wild card team. I think the Yankees will overtake
yes,
them.
Yes, 100%.
And that, like, how frustrating would that be to take first place and run with it for 4 months and then spit the bid in the final 10 days because you just couldn't cross it? It's like the Tigers. You have two teams, Andy, who could back their ass into the postseason and have the worst reverse momentum possible heading into their wild card round matchups.
It's crazy. The Tigers is even crazier because it was like 15.5 game lead or whatever the hell the number was. It was insurmountable until it became surmountable because the Tigers are fading fast. And that's why I look at it and I go, I don't think the Yankees are any great shakes right now. I don't think the Blue Jays have anything left. Doesn't look like the Tigers have anything left. Obviously, the Guardians are hot and pitching, and they look like a bit of a wagon. But I'll use my old Christian Fourier theory of due. They're due to cool off, whereas the Red Sox have not been unsustainably hot. But they're playing pretty good baseball, and they're making you feel pretty good as they approach the postseason. So it's not really that hard to talk yourself into the Red Sox with Garrett Crochet and Aroldis Chapman as having a puncher's chance when they get in against some of these teams that look like they've been punched a few too many times down the stretch here. But that was my topic today at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons for the show poll. Red Sox fans, what would be your preferred matchup to open the postseason? The four options are Blue Jays, Yankees, Tigers, Guardians. Fitzgerald?
I'm going to say, I wonder if people are going to be influenced by the fact that you said they should play the Blue Jays. Maybe I'm still going to go, I'm going to go Guardians. I'm going to go Guardians 37%.
This was the worst guess you've ever had by far.
Bound to trip and fall on my face. Was it Yankees?
It was the Yankees, 42%. Now, I think that is voting with for the energy, the entertainment value, the rivalry, all of that. Because I do think you can approach this in different ways. There's two mindsets. The theater, as you said, the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry, or easiest path to get my ass as far as possible as I can in the postseason and maybe dream of a ALCS or a World Series run. But yes, 42% of respondents said that their preferred matchup would be the Yankees. 27% said the Blue Jays. 24% said the Tigers. And if you'll notice here, Nick's answer of the Guardians was not very popular. 7% said the Guardians. I think that's fear factor. They see the Guardians not losing the way they're pitching, and they're like, yeah, I want no part of it. You think Yoshida's going to do damage against them guys? So I think that's a fear factor. But we do need to go to the Dan Ball clinch desk. We promised it. Whatever happens today between the A's and the Astros, we will update you each and every minute. So let's set the table with the clinch desk.
Go, 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 go!
So if you remember our trade deadline desk day, that was our sounder, courtesy of Will Fleming losing his mind. So we are retrofitting that for the clinch desk. So if you did not know, all the Red Sox need in order to clinch a playoff spot is a loss by the Astros this afternoon. The Astros are in Sacramento playing the Oklahoma Athletics. Astros 84-74 on the season. Athletics 75-83. It's Framber Valdez 12-11, 3.75 ERA up against JT Jin, who the Red Sox just saw, or Ginn, I don't remember which, but the Red Sox just saw him last week. Doesn't really matter. He's irrelevant, but he's 4-6 with a 4.57 ERA. Astros, Andy, have lost five in a row, including the first two in this series. So it's a 3:35 first pitch out in Sacramento. We'll keep you posted as things happen during the course of the game, and hopefully we can root for a quick game and a Red Sox clinch by six.
So about an hour from now, that'll be a first pitch out in Sacramento. And that's another, all these teams are floundering. You got to feel pretty good about the Red Sox baseball that they're playing. Now, remind me of that because, you know, there's still four games to go and a lot can change, it feels like, in baseball over the course of four games. But you got Brian Baio going to the mound tonight for the sweep against the Sky is Falling Toronto Blue Jays, and you may actually take the mound with the game over. I mean, with the question over that you've clinched, that you're already in the playoffs. Like, things are really coming up roses here for a remember when we started the week, Fitzy, and Dan Ball told us the Red Sox were going to lose out?
Six is on the table.
He did.
I'll put it right. Here's your clinch desk over here, ball game.
Wow, that's aggressive from Fitzy.
Nah, see, I earned that. I Ramondre Stevenson the handoff to him during the trending, so big-time fumble, so I'm earning that.
Look at you.
It's all in a family. It's all
hand-up accountability
okay.
on that one. That's on me.
You had Ramondre Stevenson like accountability there. You didn't take the Pop Douglas route. You could have gone Pop Douglas there and be like, hell, what? Something went wrong? No, not my fault.
It was just radio.
I don't know. Blame Ken or somebody. That's not my fault.
It's funny you say that, Andy. I, unlike Pop, I'm a professional, so that's what I chose to do.
Oh. So, Fitzy, who do you want to play?
Honestly?
No, lie.
Okay. All right. The Blue Jays. I'll say the Blue Jays because ride the momentum. No, I want to play the Yankees.
Oh, so you do want to play the Yankees?
Do it. Yes, I do. Honestly, you're going to have to play them at one point or another. I mean, unless this Blue Jays thing works out and you can tune up against the Blue Jays again, get Yoshida so hot that he drives fear.
We have the world's greatest baseball player, Yoshida, in Toronto.
Oh God, should we go to a game next week
in Toronto?
You buying? I don't know.
How the hell are we getting there?
Well, if it's like a 2 o'clock game, I don't know. Who's got a license? Ted's probably got a big truck.
No, he's going to put us all on the Harley. We'll all be hugging each other.
Are you out of your mind?
Spooning on the back of a Harley driving down the highway.
I don't know. A couple of us can fit in a sidecar, I figure. Ted's probably got a big enough chopper. Okay. Obviously, the Blue Jays make a ton of sense because the Sox literally have their number at that point. Then, of course, as the classic overthinkers that we are, Andy, it's like, oh, wait a second. So if we beat them last week, can we really beat them 2 out of 3 in their ballpark again?
Yes, you can.
Yeah,
I hate that mentality.
They are broken. They are broken. They are a fractured team right now. Like they just
little guys not even running out balls.
George Springer thinks the Yankees are it's a conspiracy with the Yankees. You got the manager getting thrown out of games, Vlad Guerrero, people complaining about balls and strikes, the bounces won't go our way. Whereas the Red Sox, they're starting to feel like I don't know, don't call it Morgan magic, but you're right. They're not the hottest team, Andy, but things are bouncing their way. There's a nice vibe with the Sox right now that I hope
To vibes?
We're back to vibes.
This team was built on vibes. Now, it's totally new vibes and new vibe guys now, but Fitzy, you think they're actually back to vibing?
I think we are officially vibing, my guy.
I like it. Vibes can win. Pitching can win. Dan Ball?
I mean, they've been, to Fitzy's point, they've been such an incredibly streaky team this year, but as we learned going into and out of the All-Star break, when they're going good, this team's one of the deeper teams in baseball. It just gets a little ugly when they're not. But right now, it seems like they're going up the good side of the roller coaster.
I agree. The only question I have when you say they're deep and they're good and they can regular season. They're regular season good. I worry about postseason good because, you know, my whole theory, it's star time. Once you get into the postseason, it's star power. And is one of these guys going to become a star? Maybe. Maybe Narvaez is going to become a star and he's an all-star catcher and he's like in the beginning of this great career. Nathaniel Lowe has been there, done that. Bregman has been there, done that. So maybe it's going to – maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, Fitzy, it's not the – so the guys that have carried you the last couple days are the complimentary players.
Yes.
Maybe they're just letting the other guys kind of get their rest in, and then the guys that are supposed to be stars, guys like Duran, Bregman, and Story at the top of the lineup, will take that baton when you get to next week and say, okay, boys, you did a nice job getting us here. Now jump on our back. We'll carry you to the promised land. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about your Boston Red Sox? It is clinch day here at WEEI Afternoons. Astros lose, Red Sox make the playoffs. Red Sox win, Red Sox make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs today. I'm feeling pretty good about it. Someone else is feeling pretty good. Robert Kraft. He turned about $170 million into $9 billion, and now he's cashing out some of it. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.